Okay, please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to apologize in the beginning in that because we're going to celebrate communion at the end of this message, and we're already running a little bit late, but I'm not going to rush through and miss what the Lord has given us. So you know what? Cracker Barrel is still going to be serving if you're 10 minutes later than you normally are. And that, well, wherever you're going, I doubt they're going to run out of food. They're not going to run out of food in just a few in a 10-minute time frame. Now, Exodus 20, all right, this is the passage with the Ten Commandments. All right, and we all know the Ten Commandments, or we know of the Ten Commandments. And that. Today, I think the Lord would have us take a personal journey through the Ten Commandments. We personalize the Ten Commandments, right? I think a lot of us, and I may be guilty too, you know, we look at the Ten Commandments as almost 10 suggestions, things that, well, it would be nice if we could obey all of them all the time. But if we don't, it's not such a big deal. All right, you might think of it like the speed limit laws. And that. The truth is that not that many people do 70 on the interstate these days. And, you know, I confess I was one of them and had a disagreement with a Georgia State Trooper 2 years ago. That's why Jay calls me the faster pastor. but there is a difference. There is a difference in that. The speed limit laws, we can choose to obey or not. Right? The Ten Commandments, we are incapable in ourselves of following them every day, every moment of our life. Right? Now, I want to begin at the last verse.
Can we turn him up? We can barely hear him.
I'll try to talk. This is
use your power voice.
Use power voice. I don't have a power voice, Pastor Darren. Oh, wait.
That is your power.
Yeah, really. Is that better? That a little better? Okay, I'll try to be as loud as I can. Okay, let's begin with verse 18. Right, this is at the end of the Ten Commandments, right? When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain smoke, they trembled with fear. They realize how important this message was. You say, today, I think we sometimes look at it as the 10 suggestions, right? So I asked myself a question when I started preparing this, and if I can get to the slide. Sometimes I hate this thing.
Dislike.
George, you went, there we go, okay. Right? I had to ask myself, why did the Lord give us the 10 Commandments? There would be a reason if he gives it to us, right? And obviously it was important. I mean, my goodness, he called Moses all the way up to the mountaintop, engraved them on stone tablets, and that did it twice because Moses broke the first set. Right? So it must be important. Now, being a good 21st century guy, I went to AI to see what Grok had to say about it, right? Well, okay, it's not maybe as bad as you think. Right? There's some truth here, right? They say that the Ten Commandments provide a moral framework. Well, that's true. They do provide a moral framework. And that helps us understand our relationship with God. True. Provides some universal principles. Also true. Right? Provides historical context. Provides personal discipline. Right? Well, all of those things are true. But I think they miss the real reason. Right?
Yes.
The real reason is that it's for us to recognize our need for a Savior. So today's message may be hard. Because, well, I'm gonna ask in prayer here in a moment that the Lord would touch each and every one of us, a personal walk through the Ten Commandments, and touch us in the place that he wants us to recognize him for who he is and what we are and what we need, right? Now, you might be saying to yourself, if I can get to the next slide, I need new batteries. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, but I'm a good person. Why do I need the commandments? All right. Well, I think we go through in prayer that we're going to find that we all need the Ten Commandments. So, Father, I ask that you would open each and every mind, each and every heart here, including myself, Lord, so that we might hear from you and we might respond to your commandments in the way that you would have us do so. Right. It begins in verse 1, and God spoke all these words. Right. This isn't Moses talking. The text, God wanted to us to make sure we understood that it was him speaking to us. Right? Well, when God speaks, did the Israelites listen? Well, they did for a while, right? The verse 18 said that they trembled, right? And that they listened at first. Wasn't that long that they were worshiping a golden calf. But more importantly, do I listen? Do I listen? And even more importantly than that, how do I respond? Do I just listen? Or do I do anything about it? All right. This is King David, right? And let's face it, King David, he led a checkered life, right? And that, you know, we all know about the Bathsheba story. Mighty fall, adultery, murder, not very good. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. Well, here's what he said. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That should be our prayer this morning. Verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, it's terribly important, and we teach here, that you need to take Bible in context. I think this verse is a key to understanding the Ten Commandments. Let me explain why. All right. In the Ten Commandments, all right, the Lord is going to show us that none of us are capable in and of ourselves of keeping those commandments. Right? Well, why would he remind them that he took them out of the Israelites, that he took them out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery? Because he's telling us that when we find out that we're not able to keep the commandments, right, that we put ourselves in slavery. We put ourselves... those failing those commandments, those what we call sin, that S word that we don't like to talk about, right? We put ourselves in physical slavery. Think of addictions. We put ourselves in emotional slavery. Think of hatred, anger, unforgiveness. We put ourselves in spiritual slavery in that because we separate ourselves from God. Right? And yet the Lord is going, I took you out of Egypt. The Ten Commandments tells us we need God and he's going to take us out of the slavery that our sin puts us into. That's the message of the Ten Commandments. Right? Right? The Lord reminds them of who he is and what he has done. Right? Today, the Lord reminds you and I who he is and what he's done. He's using the Ten Commandments thousands of years after Moses brought them down from the mountain and that to teach you and I today, right? Because through Jesus' sacrifice, you and I are free from the debt of sin. Verse 3 and 4. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Share a story. Right, Mary Kate and I, you may know, we're kind of into 50s stuff, the mid-century modern, right? And part of that time frame and that became very popular was the tiki style. Right? And when shortly about the time we moved here 24 years ago, right, I thought, wouldn't it be neat to get one of those carved tiki statues? Right? Yeah, for real. I thought that would be pretty neat. You know, how 50s can you get than that, right? And it was funny. I think it was three times came close to actually finding one that I could buy. And every time it just didn't happen. Finally, it's like, Lord, what's going on here? And he tells me, well, I don't want an idol in your home. There's a lesson there, though, because you guys look at it and go, you're going to put a wooden carving in your home? You know, what kind of a bozo are you? And that, right? And I get it. None of you are planning on doing that. Right? But maybe there's other idols in your life. So let's play a game tonight, or today. We're going to call it, What's My Idol? Okay? Here's how we play. I call them the four P's. Power. Possessions. Prestige. Pleasure. Okay? I want you to play with me now, okay? Everybody ready? Okay. Here we go. Ask yourself, if I had to give up one of these four, which would I give up? For me, I think it would probably be prestige. Right? The truth is, I don't know.
You like your Hawaiian shirt.
Well, I like my Hawaiian shirts, but you know, but I don't feel like I need prestige. Right? Have you all thought about which one you would give up? Okay, now of the remaining three, what would be the next one you would give up? Probably power for me. I don't feel like I need to have power over other people. And that, right? Okay, everybody, you've eliminated two now. Of the remaining two, which one would you give up next? Pleasure for me. Okay. The one that's left, that's where your idol is likely to be. For me, it's possessions, right? I was raised by a couple of Depression-era kids. And you took care of your possessions. You didn't waste money in that. Heavens, I spent 27 years running a website called The Dollar Stretcher, how to get the most for your money. And that's where my idol is likely to be, right? But the Lord views idolatry as hatred toward him, right? I mean, there's scripture that says you're either for him or you're against him, right? An idol is something that you put in front of God that is more important to you than God. If possessions are your idol, right, what you're saying is that you don't trust the Lord to provide for you, right? So ask yourself, do I have any idols in my life? Verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. What? God jealous? Does that make any sense at all? Jealousy, that's a bad thing, right? Well, depends on how you define jealousy, because one of the definitions for jealousy is fiercely protective. And I'm telling you right now in front of everybody, I'm fiercely protective of my wife. I'm jealous of her. I will protect her. God is jealously protective of us. The verse goes on, if I can get there. Oh, here we go. Punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Well, wait a second. I remember when I was a baby believer, I thought about it and go, wait, God, that isn't fair. Grandpa messed up, and now I should pay for that sin? Right? You know, I found out a number of years ago, my great-grandmother, immigrant from Germany, and that you know, some of the things she was into was spells and that. You know, and this was a German Lutheran and that. I had no idea. And that, should I be punished for what she did in 1920? 30-some years before I was born? That make any sense? Well, the Hebrew for the word that we translate as punish means take notice of. So what this verse is really saying is that the Lord is taking notice of the sins of the father and how they affect the children. But there's also truth in it, right? If your father was abusive, there's a good chance that you've either made a vow saying, I will never be like him, or you turned out exactly like him, right? If you have parents that were alcoholic or that were always fighting, unforgiving, that punishes the children. But the Lord is aware of it. Galatians 6 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to reap to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. As parents, are we sowing good seed? You can't sow weeds and expect to harvest wheat. It's just simply true. Ephesians 5 tells us, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Right. So what idol is competing to be Lord in my life? We probably all have one or more.
Could it be the TV?
Well, everybody's different, Mike, but that can be a good one. That can be a good one. Pleasure. Right. It's interesting, Matthew, Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Not surprising when you think about it, right? God describes himself, God is love. Right? It's not surprising that love would be the greatest commandment. Exodus 27, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Ouch. Now, there's three ways to break the third commandment. Profanity, the old GD, using the name of the Lord God in blasphemy and cursing. We're all familiar with that one, and hopefully we're all past that one if we know the Lord. How about frivolity, using the name of God in a superficial, stupid way? To be honest, I tell you, I get scared to come up here because I don't want to minimize or mislead what the Lord has for everyone. I don't want to misinterpret Scripture and that. That terrifies me. But we can easily just, you know, it's funny. I love the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Right? We all know it. And it's true. Jesus is our friend. But he's also Almighty God. Right? He's my friend. But he's also my creator and my savior. I need to have him in both places, not just one. The third way to break this commandment is hypocrisy, claiming the name of God but acting in a way that disgraces him. Okay. Think about those who slaughter people and yell, Allahu Akbar. Oh, we're acting in the name of God. Off with his head. Really? Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son nor daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Well, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? You can ask a lot of Christians and you'll get multiple answers. All right, now, if you're an observant Jew today, one cannot turn on a light, a stove, or a switch on the Sabbath. It is forbidden to drive a certain distance or to make a telephone call, all carefully regulated by traditions seeking to spell out the law exactly. It's funny, when we were in Israel, right, we were in one of the hotels, I think, was this the night we were in Jerusalem and that on the Sabbath? And their elevators are programmed to stop on every floor. So, because to press a button saying, I want floor number 7, is violating working on the Sabbath. Well, that's
kind of... Can you ask Siri to do anything for you?
I'm sorry?
Can you ask Siri to do anything for you?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question, and I have no idea. I have no idea. Well, but here's what Paul wrote in Colossians. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Well, does that mean we just ignore the Sabbath? Right? I think the answer is in 1 Samuel. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's how we keep the Sabbath holy. Right? We keep it holy in our heart. And because we keep it holy in our heart, our actions, our activities honor the Lord. Right? I found this quote from David Guzik, right, that I found interesting. Right, we dare not ignore the importance of a day of rest. God has built us so that we need one. Right? I confess, when I first started my business, I was working out of a spare bedroom. Right? And Sunday, didn't miss church, but after church and lunch, I went back to work and worked until 7 or 8 at night. And you know what? That wasn't honoring the Lord. It wasn't good for my family. It wasn't good for my health. So I would encourage you to ask the Lord how you would keep the Sabbath holy. It may be a little different for each and every one of you. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This can be a tough one because none of our parents are perfect. They're fallen people who couldn't keep the commandments on their own either. Right? But let's look at the words. Honor, right? In Hebrew, can have two meanings. One is to be heavy in a bad sense, right? Weighty, weighed us down. But it can mean to be honorable in a good sense. Now, we can honor our parents, right? If they did a bad job, right? And I don't know, suppose they were alcoholic. We can honor them by learning from their failures. Learning from their failures, right? The smartest man is somebody who learns from another person's problems, right? The next smartest man is the one who learns from his own. The real fool is the one who doesn't learn from his own. Well, we can honor our parents by learning from their failures, right? Right? But the Bible says children owe their parents honor and respect, that's in Leviticus, Book of the Law, obedience in Colossians, and care in old age. You read about granny dumping, where we just take grandma to the nursing home and never show back up again. Right? Now, again, our parents aren't perfect. They're not. Right? And that can make honoring our parents hard. Right? Even Mother's Day. You know, if you had a mother who was facing what we call issues today, and that maybe today is a little bit hard for you. But remember, it comes with a promise, right? If you honor your mother and father, you will live long in the land. Right? And you think about that too, right? The family structure is important for a civilization, right? It's a crime what's been going on in the United States over the last 50 years. We've destroyed the family. How many children born out of wedlock? The divorce rate? We've destroyed the family and we're destroying the society. And that. If you honor your mother and father in that, you will live long in the land. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Right? Well, come on. I've never killed anybody. I don't own a firearm. I mean, the only sharp knife I have is in the kitchen. Right? Come on. I'm not a murderer. Or am I? Well, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 5. Yeah, I heard. You have heard it said that to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. He doesn't say it once, but again, he says it twice. Gee, it might be important if he says it twice, don't you think? And is there anyone here that can honestly say, you never thought hatred, ill toward another person? First John, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers over all wrongs. Verse 14, this is where it gets tough. You shall not commit adultery. Right now, we might want it to say, well, you shall not commit adultery unless your partner doesn't understand you. You shall not commit adultery unless you are in love. You shall not commit adultery unless God led you to be with each other. I'm sorry, it don't say that. I added that on my own. Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Whoops. All right. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is God so strict on intimacy? Right? And also, why does the devil try to tempt us so much in this area? Right? I mean, you know, non-believers go, oh, you Christians, all you want to talk about is sin, 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 sex, 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 sex. Right? Well, let's look at some of the reasons. Right? First, marriage is a sacred covenant. Right? When we get married, we're not only making a contract with the person that we're marrying, right? But it's a sacred. We're making that vow before God. It's a sacred covenant, right? Adultery, right, is a sin against God. It's a sin against the person that you're cheating on. And you're sinning with the person that you're cheating with. Great trifecta. Right? It destroys relationships in society. Right? Does a hookup culture make us a better society? No. No. Look at all of the legal disasters, the sexual disasters. It's a mess. The spiritual symbolism, right? Repeatedly, when the Israelites are unfaithful to the Lord, he says that you're an adulterous generation. To the Lord, it's the same thing. The consequence is injustice, right? I think back, a dear friend of mine, was married, three kids, and had a short affair with somebody that worked for him. Yeah. Well, ended up in a contentious divorce, all right? Messed up a son, a daughter. She became an alcoholic. She was a teenager when they were divorced. We went to her funeral when she was in her early 30s, died of alcohol poisoning. And there was a daughter born of the affair. There's consequences. That's why God is so strict on intimacy. That's why God is so strict on intimacy. And why the enemy so much wants to trip us up in this area. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. I love the graphic, huh? The Hebrew for steal can mean to thieve, to deceive, to carry away. But think about that, right? Think about it. When we even deceive, we're stealing from somebody. That bar is a lot lower than we might think. But the question is, why are we tempted to steal? Right? Do we not believe that the Lord's going to take care of us? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If I make possessions my idol, I'm denying that the Lord is going to provide. If I steal, I feel that the Lord is not going to provide. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Well, I've not done that. I've only been in a court of law twice in my life, and that was as a juror. Nobody qualified me to testify. So what does this false witness mean? And for the record, no, that's not a picture of me while I still had hair. Let's look at the Hebrew, right? False can mean untruth, sham, or deceit. Witness is pretty much what you would think, testimony or a recorder. So being a false witness can be a deceitful recorder. Now, Psalm 34 tells us, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. But you know what? It's very easy to become a false witness. I think of three ways. First is slander. When you intentionally say something about somebody that you know is not true. You know, somebody says something bad about you on social media. Or says, you know, word comes back to you, did you hear what Sam said about you? Oh, I'm going to get Sam back. I'll watch it. Okay. Sharing something that you know is not true. The second is sharing stories. Gossip. Yes, gossip. Wow. Isn't it? The one that drives you craziest, and I hope it drives you crazy too, is when we need to pray for George, and that you know what's going on, and I understand he's got this problem going on. George, I didn't mean you, George. I'm sorry. George. He's innocent. You know, I'm sharing stories about George, and they're not true. And they're not true. And if, but when we, you know, let's make it a prayer request. That makes it holy, right? No, you're sharing stories about somebody. And most of the time, you don't know whether they're true or not. So-and-so is having trouble in their marriage. Were you there? Do you know what you're sharing? The third way, and we don't often think of it, is an inappropriate silence. I'm standing there when they're talking about Sam, and I know it's not true. And yet, I don't want to cause a controversy. I don't want to be out of line, so I just stand there and be quiet as if I agree. But think about it. Jesus was the victim of a false witness. those that testified against him were false witnesses. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I think of the petulant child. The petulant child that's in all of us. There's things that we all want now. And in the age of microwave ovens and fast food restaurants, and that what's the delivery service? You don't even have to go out for the fast food, you know, anymore. Well, what does covet mean? In Hebrew, it means to delight in, desire, lust, to pant after. Another David Guzik quote attracted me. Covetousness works like this. Pay attention. The eyes look upon an object. The mind admires it. The will goes over to it. And the body moves in to possess it. Just because you have not taken the final step does not mean you are not in the process of coveting right now. Should be some conviction. In Hebrews, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The truth is if you have the Lord, there's absolutely no reason to covet anything else. The Lord is the only thing you should want to covet. Now, I want to talk about the difference between conviction and condemnation. Because as I prayed, I hope everybody's heart has been touched at some point in the last 35, 40 minutes. All right, now you may be hearing in your mind's eye, in your mind's ear, you're beyond God's forgiveness. You know, the stuff you did, God can't forgive that. God won't forgive that. You may be hearing, you're a loser. What kind of bozo does what you've done with your life? You might be hearing, God wants nothing to do with you. Those are all coming from the devil. The devil condemns. His message to you condemns. On the other hand, you might be hearing conviction. You might be hearing that, you know, yeah, you failed, but you're better than this. With Jesus, you don't have to fall this way again. Right? Jesus will help you overcome this sin in your life. You are forgiven. When you hear that, that's conviction. That comes from the Lord. But maybe the condemnation seems right. Maybe the condemnation seems right to you. That voice is speaking really loud in your ear right now. Well, spoiler alert, there's good news ahead. Now, on the other hand, maybe you didn't feel convicted or condemned at all. You just didn't hear anything. I won't read all of it, but in Ephesians 2, basically it says that before we know the Lord, we can be dead spiritually, meaning we don't hear with spiritual ears. Perhaps you're walking alone in the dark. God bless you. I've got some good news for you. John 3:3 says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if you failed in the Ten Commandments, and we all have, we're honest with ourselves, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. So if you don't know the Lord, why wouldn't you want to know him today? So if that's you, please join me in prayer. I'm going to pray right now, and all you need to do is from your heart, ask the Lord into it. Father God, I don't know who here doesn't know you as a personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, we are all sinners. We acknowledge our sin that we haven't been able to meet the Ten Commandments, Lord God. We can't live up to that standard. The Ten Commandments proves it to us. And so, Lord, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need His blood, His sacrifice, so that I may come to You and be reconciled to You. And I thank You for His blood. I thank You for His sacrifice. I thank You that I can be born again and come to know You and be loved by You and love You. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, please talk to Pastor Darren or me afterwards. Now, perhaps you're a believer and you didn't hear or feel anything this morning. I want to tell you about God's hearing aid. I had a funny thought the other last Friday morning, right? I was with a group of, there's a bunch of old guys like me, and we get together and have breakfast on Friday morning. They're all believers. And I was joking that, you know, just like on our phones, right, we can block certain numbers. Well, wouldn't it be neat on our hearing aids if we could block certain people? Well, okay. Well, but you know what? Some of us, I think, do that with the Lord. If you sat here this morning and you call Jesus your Lord and Savior and the Lord didn't touch you somewhere, maybe you need God's hearing aid. That's the passage that I read earlier from King David. Search me, God. Know my heart. That should be a prayer that every believer prays on a regular basis, that we know the Lord and that, Lord, show me where I've fallen. Help me review my day. Where could I have done better today than I did? How would You change me and make me more like Jesus? Right? Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Please don't leave today feeling condemned. Leave feeling forgiven. Right? As I pointed out in the beginning, right, the Lord, tell them that we're busy. Right, the Lord says, these are my words. Right. I'm going to show you how you can't live up to the standard. Right? The meaning of sin is missing the mark. Now, you miss the bullseye. And we all miss the bullseye. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments, showing us that we can't live up to God's standard. And yet He says, I freed you out of slavery. Right? That's why you want to read Bible in context. The Ten Commandments make sense when God is showing you need a Savior and I provide a Savior. In the New Testament, we know that Savior is Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that You know us for what we are. And You led us to see what we are and our need for You and Your provision for us, Lord. Lord, I ask that each and every one of us would accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, desire to be more like Him each day, to love You more each day. And Lord, too, I would ask Your blessing on this body, Lord. Let Your face shine upon us and guide us until we all meet again. And all God's children said, Amen. 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 Have a blessed Mother's Day, everyone.